It's Christmas time in Chicago. Freezing temperatures, frigid winds, there's snow on the ground, and a police officer comes to a wealthy neighborhood and begins to question homeowners. It isn't an interrogation. He's there because he cares about them. As people go out of town for Christmas, he wants to make sure their house is going to be secure and well protected while they're gone. He learns of their plans to travel and their security. He wishes them a Merry Christmas and begins his plans to rob their house. It's Marv from Home Alone. But it's a lot like what the Israelites were doing to God and Amos. They looked right. They acted right. They were in the right place. But their hearts were in it only for themselves. We see in Amos 5 how God responds to this unauthentic worship. If you'll turn with me to Amos 5, 21 and 24. Such an honor to be able to speak here. I haven't seen all of you guys since last year. I'm so excited to be with you. So such a great way to start our year. So if you'll read with me, Amos 5, 21 to 24, it says, I despise your feasts. I can't stand the stench of your solemn assemblies. Even if you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. I will have no regard for your fellowship offerings of fat and cattle. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice flow like water and righteousness like an unfailing stream. Let's take a second and pray. Lord, as we open your word, we just pray, would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear, a heart that's going to be receptive to your word, and to follow you this year. Make a commitment that we're going to worship you authentically, genuinely, from a heart that loves you in 2023. Your name, amen. We immediately notice what God thinks about this worship. He uses some pretty strong words here. It's a pretty clear picture. I hate, I despise, I can't stand. But when we look at the Israelites' actions, they seem to be doing a lot of things right. They're meeting, they're having offerings, they're singing songs. They're doing right things. Why is God so mad? They're doing all the external stuff right. But their hearts are far from him. They acted like they're worshiping, but it wasn't authentic. We need to worship authentically because our actions alone aren't going to please God. The Israelites' lives were, they're far from God. They lived sinful lives, and they would come in, and they would act like they were right, and they would pretend like they're in right standing with God, and they'd worship, and they'd give offerings, and then they would go back and do whatever they wanted. It wasn't genuine. But they believed God was going to be happy with them. He's going to reward them for performing their actions for God. They wanted to do enough to get God off their backs. They wanted to do enough to keep receiving God's blessings. But they didn't want to devote their life to God. Their goals were selfish. All they cared about was how God was going to treat them. They believed if they did enough worshipful things, then God would be appeased. But God is never pleased with our false worship. It doesn't matter how many right things we do if we're doing it with the wrong heart. If we're in it for ourselves. Their sinful hearts had corrupted their worship and made it self-focused, self-seeking, rather than glorifying and honoring God. So what do we do to avoid this false worship, this unauthentic worship that the Israelites had? Well, first, authentic worship means loving God's people. Verse 24, it tells us, but let justice flow like water. Justice is being fair. It's treating people ethically, honorably. It's being right with people. So God's saying, you guys need to be fair to each other. You need to be right to each other. So why does God have to say that? What's happening, right? This is a time of economic prosperity and peace in Israel. No one's fighting them. They're doing good financially. They start building these beautiful buildings in their capital. They have wealth like they never had before. And because of that, some people have more wealth than anyone's had before. And they're very wealthy and they're very powerful and begin to use their influence unethically. Amos 2, 6, and 8 makes this very clear. It says, they're selling off needy people for a pair of sandals. They trampled the heads of the poor. They're oppressing the poor. They're taking advantage of the helpless. They're immoral. Then they would go and act like they were honorable. They would give sacrifices and offerings, and they'd give more than what was commanded, more than what God had asked. And you think, wow, that's so generous. They're so religious. They're great people. But they have this excess of wealth because they're taking advantage of the poor and helpless. God hates their sacrifices. They're being completely hypocritical. They're giving God money they got from abusing the very people God called them to love and to take care of. We need our lives to be devoted to loving God's people. When we have a terrible attitude towards people and we're mean to them, we treat them all wrong, God's going to be mad. If we want our worship to be authentic, we need to love and honor his people. And that means not taking advantage of them, yes, and being fair to them, yes. But that also means, like, genuinely loving them, like, caring for people, loving people who think differently than we do. But not only do we need to love God's people, authentic worship means loving God. We see back in verse 24, but let justice flow like water and righteousness like an unfailing stream. Righteousness, it's the act of being right in the eyes of God. Now, by the way, they're treating the poor and the helpless. It's obvious they're not righteous. And it's obvious they don't care about God's laws. And remember, that's crucial for loving God. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So if they don't care about God's people, they obviously aren't caring about his commandments. Why are they giving at all? Why are they sacrificing at all? What's with this? We talked about, yes, I think, you know, they want to get God off their back. They want to keep receiving his blessings. But they also gave because of how it made them look. It made them look really generous. It made them look really pious. It made them look religious, like they're good. And it showed off their wealth. God became a means for them to boast about themselves. They loved themselves more than they loved God. Someone described Israel at this time as politically secure and spiritually smug. Because of their military victories, they had peace, they were wealthy, and this made them feel secure that God was blessing them. They felt confident God was happy with them and was going to protect them. And so they began to walk even farther from him. God is blessing Israel with wealth and with peace. And instead of praising him, they turn farther away. Instead of loving and honoring God, they loved and honored themselves. The Israelites' actions showed us, they were chasing God's blessings, not God. When they received his blessings, they saw it as a green light to go even further into sin and even deeper into immorality. Because that's all they wanted from him. That was the reason they followed God. That was their goal, to get his blessings. And when they got what they wanted, they stopped worshiping him. The Israelites' view of God and worship was completely wrong. They wanted him to be their get out of jail free card and nothing more. The goal of their worship was to make sure they did enough so God would keep blessing them and wouldn't be mad at them. They weren't focused on praising God, but focused on themselves. They didn't care about God. They cared about what he could offer. We have to be careful with having a similar mindset in our worship. We can come to worship expecting God to do something incredible for us and miss the whole point of it. It's never been about us. It's never been what he's going to give to us. It's never been that if I raise my hands, if I give this extra money, if I start serving in this ministry, God's going to bless me and he's going to give me exactly what I want. Don't forget, the point of authentic worship is to glorify God. If God works powerfully, emotionally, spiritually through you, man, that is an awesome byproduct of what happens when we humble ourselves and we really worship him. But that's not what we chase. We chase to glorify God, to lift high the name of Jesus. Ultimately, the Israelites would come and they'd worship once a week, do some actions for God, and think that would be enough to live their life however they wanted. But that is not the picture we have of true worship. It's obvious that the Israelites' worship wasn't authentic because it was for the purpose of being rewarded by God, and it was from unjust, unrighteous hearts. But we also recognize that we don't only worship when we gather, because authentic worship is continual. The Israelites, man, they loved to give money when people were watching. They loved to give money when people are around there looking at them. But authentic worship doesn't just happen when people are looking at us. Our worship doesn't start and stop with corporate worship. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Authentic worship doesn't only happen at church, but is a continual praising of God. We worship God by devoting time to study his word, through prayer, through obedience, through service. We're constantly praising God. We're constantly thanking God for what he's done, whether people are watching you or whether it's just you and God in a quiet place alone. We see this continual worship in Acts 2 in the formation of the early church. Verses 46 and 47 say that every day they devoted themselves to praising God. They were constantly worshiping God through their outpouring of praise. And in Revelation 4, we get to see that in heaven, the praise never stops. The worship never stops. Worship isn't confined to a service. It isn't confined to a day of the week. Worship is at the heart of all we do as we seek to give God the glory. And when our goal isn't to glorify God, he knows. One of my favorite things to read in the Bible is when Jesus knows something that he shouldn't as fully man, but he's fully God, so he knows it anyways. And we see several examples of this in the Gospels, when he knows what the Pharisees are saying amongst each other and he talks to them. When he knows what Simon the Pharisee is thinking in Luke 7 and he responds to him. when he knows people he's never met, like Nathaniel under the fig tree or the woman at the well. And I can't imagine what it would have been like to have some snarky thought about Jesus and he outright responds to you. How embarrassing would that be? And that's what happens to the Israelites. They've been pretending, they've been putting on a show, and they think they have God tricked. But God isn't fooled for a second. He sees their hearts, and he responds to them in Amos. And God sees your hearts too. He knows if you want to be here, if you're being genuine. He's seen everything you've done all week. You can put on a show. You're a follower of God. He's moving powerfully in your life when you really don't know him, when you really don't care about him. You show up once a week. You put in your time. You give to this ministry. You serve in this missions work, hoping that's going to convince God that you're his child and he's going to bless you. But the only thing that can make you a child of God is admitting that you're a sinner, broken, in need of a savior, unfit to be in heaven and have a perfect relationship with a perfect God. Confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, accepting him to be your personal savior, and letting him lead your life. If you're attending church because you want God to bless you, if you're giving because you want God to reward you, you missed it. You missed the point of worship. God doesn't just want your external actions. He wants your heart. He wants authentic, passionate worship from people who are continually loving and honoring him and his people. When we glance at the Israelites' lives, they're secure, they're stable, they're at peace, they've got wealth, they're generous, they're giving it. They look like they've got it all. But when we take a deeper look, we see their hearts are sinful and care only about themselves. They show up once a week and think it's enough. If we took a deeper look into your life, what would we see? Would we see that heart that's doing something for God because they want his blessings, because they want a reward, because they're hoping that God's going to overlook this sin if they do this thing for them? Or would we see authentic, continual, passionate worship from someone who is loving God and loving his people? Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, you see all of our hearts, and you know exactly why we're here. God, I just pray that we would spend this year as someone who wants to passionately love you, who wants to authentically love you, no matter the consequences, that is going to be willing to serve you and honor you in all that we do. We love you, Lord, in your name. Amen.